KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. In high school boys baseball, regular season play last night. Just a few games here in the area. Harlan beat Thomas Jefferson 12-0. It was Denison over Storm Lake 8-6. Also Bishop Heland Catholic downing Lewis Central by a score of 6-1 in boys baseball last night. Now, postseason baseball continues tonight, and we'll have a game for you here on KJAN tonight. Class 1A district semifinals will be held this evening. At Guthrie Center tonight, Exira EHK will face off against CAM, and we'll have that game live for you tonight here on the radio and also on the web at KJAN.com. Exira EHK 20-3 on the season. CAM carries a 16-5 mark into that contest tonight. These two Rolling Hills Conference foes split their regular season matchups, each winning at home during the regular season. However, they'll be on a neutral site tonight at Guthrie Center. Game time, 7 o'clock. We're on the air at 6:45 tonight. You can catch that game again live here on KJAN or on the web at KJAN.com. It's Exira EHK versus CAM from Guthrie Center tonight here on the radio. Also tonight in 1A District Semis, Walnut will face Logan Magnolia. That game in Dunlap tonight. At Coon Rapids this evening, Audubon will battle Coon Rapids Baird. At Essex tonight, it's Sydney versus Nishnabotna. Also at Greenfield this evening, Corning will face Earlham. At St. Albert High School in Council Bluffs tonight, St. Albert will face off against AHST. While at Trainer tonight, East Mills will battle Trainer. All those games start at 7 o'clock tonight with the winners moving on to the district finals. Iowa State punter Kirby Vanderkamp is one of 25 candidates on the watch list for the Ray Guy Award, the Augusta Sports Council Sports announced on Wednesday. The award annually honors the nation's premier college punter. Vanderkamp earned honorable mention all Big 12 honors from the league's coaches and the Associated Press. He played in all 13 games last season, ranking fourth in the Big 12 and 29th nationally, averaging 42.7 yards per punt on his 68 attempts. Vanderkamp was named a freshman All-American in 2010 after averaging 45.2 yards per punt, and that mark ranks second in Iowa State single-season history. A member of Iowa State's track team has been accused of stealing bicycles on campus and selling them over the internet. Court records say 20-year-old Colin Fett has pleaded not guilty to a felony theft charge and is scheduled for trial on August 28th. Iowa State police officers say they found 40 bikes in Fett's basement. An ISU athletics department spokesman says Fett has been suspended from competition. Fett throws the hammer and has competed in other weight events. A defending champion Kentucky will play Duke, while Michigan State will meet Kansas in the Champions Classic doubleheader that will cap ESPN's 24-hour tip-off marathon. The network announced Wednesday that the fifth annual Day of Hoops will start November 13th at midnight Eastern Time with West Virginia at Gonzaga. 11 games will follow with 16 conferences represented throughout the day. That marathon will be capped by the marquee doubleheader in Atlanta's Georgia Dome to get the new basketball season tipped off this fall. Well, the U.S. men's Olympic basketball team plays its first exhibition today. They're hosting the Dominican Republic in Las Vegas, and they sound pretty eager for a game. Injuries and NBA free agency has sidelined at least one-third of the team for at least part of training camp, which began last Friday. Coach Mike Krzyzewski says the team has had a disjointed start and now needs to rectify that. Darren Williams couldn't take part in the contact portions of practice until yesterday after he had signed a contract extension with the Brooklyn Nets. He says sitting and watching wasn't a lot of fun, and he's feeling rusty. LeBron James says it's been a slow start, but tonight's game will provide a chance for the team to size things up. In other NBA news, it looks like the Dwight Howard to the Brooklyn Nets deal is off, at least the way it was reportedly structured. Magic general manager Rob Hennigan says trade talks with the Nets involving Howard are stationary. However, Hennigan says discussions remain open with Brooklyn and other teams. Hennigan said the parameters of the Nets' offer weren't favorable to the Magic without giving specifics. The offer was thought to be a multi-team sign-and-trade, with Orlando getting Brooklyn center Brooks Lopez. Shortly after Hennigan's remarks, the Nets agreed with Lopez on a four-year contract extension. A person with knowledge of the negotiation said that the deal was worth around $60 million. A mainstay of the San Antonio Spurs will be around a while longer as Tim Duncan has signed on for at least his 16th season with the franchise. Terms of the deal weren't disclosed, but Yahoo Sports cited anonymous sources reporting it was a three-year, $36 million deal. Duncan has led the Spurs to the playoffs every year since being selected by the team with the first pick in the 1997 draft. He has two NBA MVP awards and has been the NBA Finals MVP three times. San Antonio has won 9 division titles and 4 NBA championships. Steve Nash wanted to continue to be the Phoenix Suns' mainstay, but that didn't work out. Instead, the 2-time MVP guard helped engineer a trade to the Lakers, who he admitted he never envisioned playing for. Nash was introduced at the Lakers' training site Wednesday after getting a 3-year, $27 million deal. The 8-time All-Star vowed to give his best to help the team win another NBA title. Also, Blake Griffin signed a contract extension with the Clippers. He could make up to $95 million over the next 5 years. Free agent guard Jamal Crawford also signed with the Clippers after spending last season with Portland. Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis have signed their free agent contracts with the Heat. That gives the NBA champions a pair of veterans with a wealth of experience and versatility to a lineup already featuring a number of all-stars. Well, the results of Penn State's internal investigation into the Jerry Sandusky scandal are about to be released in the form of a report that could answer many of the troubling questions swirling around one of the darkest scandals in sports history. The report, being released early today, is the product of a team led by former federal judge and FBI director Louis Free. They've interviewed hundreds of people to learn how the university responded to warning signs that its once revered former defensive coordinator was a serial child molester. Sandusky is awaiting sentencing after being convicted on 45 criminal counts last month at a trial that included gut-wrenching testimony from 8 young men who said he abused them. By contrast, the Free report is expected to focus on Penn State. Late Penn State football coach Joe Paterno defended his program's integrity in a 7-month-old letter that was released yesterday. Paterno rejected the notion that Jerry Sandusky's sexual abuse of boys amounted to a football scandal or in any way tarnished the program or the school. That letter was written shortly before his death and authenticated by his family. The NCAA says it will decide on whether to take action at the appropriate time in connection with its inquiry into Penn State and the child sexual abuse scandal that led to the ouster of Hall of Fame coach Joe Paterno. Findings from Penn State's internal investigation into the case of ex-defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky are due out this morning, and the NCAA says Penn State will have to formally respond to questions from NCAA President Mark Emmert even after Free unveils his findings. On football news, Drew Brees and the Saints are a long way apart in locking up a 5-year, $100 million contract before Monday's deadline for a long-term deal. That's according to a person familiar with negotiations. The sides were more than $10 million apart in the guaranteed portion of the contract, according to that person. The 33-year-old Brees would be entering his 12th season. He's never before had the chance to negotiate a contract on par with the elite quarterbacks of the game. The Saints, meanwhile, risk alienating the best quarterback in franchise history and their fan base by failing to make an offer to his satisfaction by Monday. That's the deadline for players with the franchise tag to sign long-term deals. In horse racing news, a published report says that Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner I'll Have Another was ailing well before he was retired from racing with a tendon injury the day before the Belmont Stakes. The New York Times reported that veterinary records show that I'll Have Another was being treated with painkillers and anti-inflammatory drugs in the weeks after his win in the Preakness on May 19th and before the June 9th Belmont. According to the records, x-rays of the colt's front ankles and knees taken 4 days after the Preakness showed that I'll Have Another had osteoarthritis. 2 days before the Belmont, the colt was injected with painkillers and a synthetic joint fluid. Trainer Doug O'Neill disputed the accuracy of the report and called it irresponsible journalism. Kentucky Derby and Preakness winning trainer Doug O'Neill says he's dropped his appeal of a 45-day suspension stemming from an excess of carbon dioxide in one of his horses in 2010. O'Neill says that the suspension was reduced to 40 days. It will run from August 19th to September 27th. O'Neill trained I'll Have Another, who won the Derby and the Preakness this year. Belmont Stakes winner Union Rags is out with a ligament injury to his left front leg, but could return to the races next year, according to the Colts veterinarian. Union Rags was considered the top 3-year-old in training after his Belmont win. That news comes just over a month after Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner I'll Have Another was retired with a tendon injury in his front left leg the day before the Belmonts. And Major League Baseball is taking another day off to bask in the glow of the National League's 8-0 All-Star Game route of the American League Tuesday night. The All-Star break extends through today, and the schedule will resume with a full slate of games tomorrow. The overnight TV numbers for the All-Star Game made it the highest-rated primetime show Tuesday night with a 3% increase over the 2011 game. It was the first year-to-year game since the 2008 game. Last year's contest in Phoenix drew a record low. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.